Well, good morning, church. Have to confess, for 100, you look pretty good. Well, it's a different day we are celebrating, but as I really thought about all that could be said, and obviously a lot could be said, I thought about God's faithfulness. And I was reminded that in the Old Testament, especially, you see on several occasions when God met with somebody in a specific way, whether personally or maybe giving them victory over an enemy, or when he held back the Jordan so that they could return the Ark of the Covenant on dry ground, they erected standing stones, reminders, tributes to how God had met with them individually or corporately as a nation, so that when people passed by, when people came across these stones, they would remember that there is a God, a sovereign God, that has done this for His people. And that's what I am mindful of today. That's what, to me, this day is. It is our moment in history. This building is our standing stone. It has been erected prayerfully as a tribute to God's goodness and His faithfulness to us. Psalm 37 has some really, very easy instructions, but it says this. It says to trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed upon His faithfulness. We can do that. We can trust in the Lord. We can do good. We can dwell in the land He has provided. But we are to feed on His faithfulness. Now, creation does that. Creation has no problem with His provision. It declares His majesty and His glory. The heavens declare that. We can hear a little bit of that on when Jesus says, consider the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns. And yet your Heavenly Father provides for them. So God provides for us. He is our provision, absolutely. But did you notice the psalmist said, not just to feed on what God provides for us, not to feed on those things exclusively, but to feed on Him. Let God sustain you spiritually. May He be the wellspring of all the things that we need, everything necessary to live this life that He's called us to. Feed upon Him. It's His faithfulness. Now, faithfulness, obviously, means a stability, a dependability, something that is unchanging. And the great thing about God's faithfulness, it is unwavering regardless of the circumstances in the world, unwavering regardless of the circumstances that we might find ourselves in. And we see this in Scripture, maybe one of the most well-known stories, Job. A story that almost everybody knows because we can all relate to it because it has to deal with personal suffering. It highlights the personal suffering of Job as he loses his home, his resources, his riches, his family. When he's surrounded by friends who are unsympathetic, when the only one that has his ear is an antagonistic wife, when you read the book, you'll see that God is faithful in his personal suffering. If you go to the book of Lamentations, we can see national suffering as the whole community of Israel is suffering. The book is about wailing. It is about a heart's cry. It is a book of sorrows. It is a book of grief. It is a funeral dirge, crying out to God because Babylonians had come in and destroyed their very way of life, their national identity, took away their rights to worship and their religion, destroyed their temple. They had loss of life as well. And in that lament and in that heart cry, in chapter 3, says we are not consumed because of the love of God. The love of God continues to sustain them. It talks about his compassions which fail not. And then it says, great is your faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. We see that throughout Scripture. If I was in my mind's eye looking at the attributes of God, and if they were erected here like these pillars that hold up this building, and these standing stones of His character qualities, what makes the very essence of God, we could come over here to His holiness and tangibly touch it and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, or His love that endures forever, His compassion that fails not, His mercy that is new every morning, His immutability. He's unchanging. He's the same today and yesterday and forever. We can look at He's all powerful. God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. He created everything out of nothing, everything seen and unseen. We can go to His omniscience, His all-knowing. And the psalmist reminds us, before a word is even put on my tongue, you perceive it. We can go to the pillar of Him being all and everywhere in all things. And once again, the psalmist says, if I go to the highest heaven, where can I go from Your presence? The highest heaven, You are there. If I go and make my bed in Sheol, You are there. God is faithful. It is God's faithfulness that brought us into relationship with Him. The Apostle Paul says that God is faithful and has brought us into fellowship with His Son, Christ Jesus. Think about that. While we were wandering around, self-absorbed, uncaring about God, an enemy of God according to God's Word, He sent His amazing redemptive grace to seek us out, to draw us, to woo us, to bring Him to Him because He is faithful. The forgiveness that we have received in our salvation, the forgiveness that we enjoy moment by moment and day by day, is because of His faithfulness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And because God is faithful and He is just, He didn't turn His back on our sin. He didn't turn a blind eye to our transgressions. He didn't wallpaper over our depravity. He sent His Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, to come on our behalf and take sin upon Himself and die on a cross and be buried to be resurrected so that we might enjoy eternal life with those who have received Him, because our God is faithful. In this faithfulness, think of the courtroom in heaven. When the accuser of the brethren gets up and points to you and calls you by name and says, transgressor, trespasser, sinner, debtor, Jesus can stand up and say, paid in full. That's what they were. But now they're washed. They're justified. They're sanctified. God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to us for 100 years. By His faithfulness, He's given us our Holy Spirit, and He has uniquely bound us together and brought us together so that we can accomplish the purposes that He has. Peter uses a different image, and I think it's just as profound and just as important today, because Peter calls us, those of us who are in Christ, he calls us living stones. Living stones that are being built into a temple for a holy priesthood. God, in His sovereign grace, went into the quarry of our despair and our sorrow, and He brought us out. We've all seen brick walls, cement block walls, 8 by 12 by 16, 8 by 12 by 16, all precise and precision, utilitarian, mundane. God fashioned living stones. The strength is not in their precision. The strength is in the hands of the Master who has put them together, fused them together, made them into this dwelling, this holy place. And the beauty is not in the uniformity, it is in the diversity of stones that are different size and textures and colors that have been put together for His purpose, for His glory, because God is faithful. God has been faithful to us. And if we could, in our mind's eye, see this great temple, this great spiritual house that God has built, and if we could hear echoing through the hallways of time, we would hear the names of people that you see around you, these living stones here, the living stones that are represented on pictures that are on your table, as He calls their name and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. Another name, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. Well done, on for 100 years, because God has been faithful all the way past 100 years, and it is God's faithfulness that will take us until He returns. God is faithful. We can trust in that. We can feed on His faith. Pastor Matt.
Amen. Maybe he should have spoke first. Well, some of you know, I grew up in Texas. And I remember growing up in Texas and walking into the bathroom and seeing on the wall this poem that was there. And it seemed like it was kind of interesting, because it seemed like every home I went into, every one of these bathrooms had the same poem on the wall. Like, to be a good Christian in the South, you had to have this poem. And some of you may know it, but it went something like this. One night a man had a dream. And he dreamed that he was walking with God on a beach. And as he walked with God, he could see flashes and memories of his life throughout the sky. And as he looked at them, he noticed there were sets of footprints. One for him and one for God. He got to the end of his life, this last flash of his life, and he looked back and he saw something interesting, that along the way, when life was most difficult, there was only one set of footprints. And it was also interesting because when there was only one set of footprints, it was then that life was most difficult. And he got frustrated thinking about this, so he questioned God. God, when life was difficult, trials and suffering, why was it then that you abandoned me? So God turned to him and said, "You're my son, and I promise to never leave you. When life was difficult and you see one set of footprints, it's then that I carried you." It's a good one. Some of you remember having that probably on your wall. And though the point of that is really on God's love for us, there's an aspect of what he did reflecting on those footprints in the sand that we get to do today. Pastor Ron's talked about it already, but the scriptures have much to say about God's faithfulness. Lamentations, which he brought up, Lamentations 3 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Psalm 119 says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations." In the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." The scriptures have much to say about God's faithfulness, but there's one verse I want to focus on for a brief moment in 1 Corinthians. Pastor Ron also brought this up. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." I love that verse. I love it because it's so straightforward. And maybe you've heard me talk. I like to be as straightforward as possible. It says, God is faithful. Can't be much more straightforward than that. But when I read it, there's this question that pops in my head. How is Paul so confident? Paul's the one writing this. How's he so confident? How's he so hopeful in what God, in God's faithfulness? Because if you've ever read the book of Corinthians, they made a couple of mistakes. And by a couple, I mean a lot. So how is he so confident? Well, the answer is really simple. And he said it already. God is faithful. Every one of those verses we've talked about, what Ron talked about, what I've read, notice it's all about what God has done for us, not what we've done for God. God is faithful. He's faithful to keep us. He's faithful to save us. He's faithful to watch over us. He's faithful to provide for us. He's faithful to lead us. God will never abandon us. God will not forsake us. Jesus says he has you in the palm of his hand, and nothing will pluck you out. God is faithful. I'm not always faithful. Pastor Ron's not. You're not. Even the Apostle Paul knew this. That's why he writes and points to God's faithfulness. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your marriage. You can trust him with your kids. You can trust him with your health. You can trust him with your job. We can trust him with the future of this church. God's faithfulness is how Paul is so confident. That's why when he writes, he sounds so hopeful. We see this reoccurring pattern in Scripture. This reoccurring pattern is promise and fulfillment. God makes a promise and we see it fulfilled. Promise and fulfillment over and over and over in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "But surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us, spoken by us to the glory of God." Yes and amen. Maybe you've heard a song that says his promises are yes and amen. That's where this comes from. Paul knows this. That's why Paul Paul knows that God is faithful and that his promises are yes and amen. His promises with Abraham, when he says your offspring will be as countless as the numbers in the sky, he knew that that promise was yes and amen. With Moses, as he said, I'll save you from slavery, will lead you through the desert into the promised land, he knew that that promise was yes and amen. With King David, as he promised there will be an offspring from you that will sit on the throne as king of my people, he knew that that promise was yes and amen. To Adam and Eve in the beginning, in creation, shortly after the fall, when God prophesied and promised and said, one day there will be an offspring who crushes the head of the snake. That promise was yes and amen, and we saw it fulfilled through Jesus, who went to the cross in our place, conquering sin and death for eternity. God's promises are yes and amen. That's how Paul is so hopeful. So too are we hopeful for that same reason. Because of God's faithfulness, like the man in that dream, we get to look at our past. We get to see how God has walked through history with this church through his faithfulness. We can reflect on in 1921 when the conference sent someone to check out the area, and in 1922 when they started meeting in the schoolhouse, we see God's faithfulness. Later that year, they got to come down in Tenasket and found a common building where they got together. We see his faithfulness when they were given a plot of land that was the old church. They started meeting in tents there. We see his faithfulness through the man of C.W. Burbank as he built with other people in the church with his own hands, the trees they went and cut down, built a building over the course of about 4 years there. We see God's faithfulness through this church and through its people over and over and over, all the way through to the 2000s when God was faithful and gave us the plot of land we're meeting on. And that through some of your hands, this church was built. We see God's faithfulness. Even now, God is faithful. Last week, we celebrated baby dedications. Next week, there's 10 baptisms. That's each one of those people is a representation of someone that's responding to God's love. And we continue to see his faithfulness to this church. So like Paul, we can be hopeful because of God's faithfulness. For the future, we can be hopeful and confident in God for our future in this church. What might he do in this body? What might he do through this building? What might he do on the land that we're on? I don't know. But I'm hopeful and confident because God is faithful. Let me end with this quote and I'll pray for us. Upon God's faithfulness rests our whole hope of future blessedness. Only as he is faithful will his covenant stand and his promises be honored. Only as we have complete assurance that he is faithful, may we live in peace and look forward with the assurance to the life to come. Amen. Let me invite the worship team up and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you for Pastor Ron's words and how you, Father, if we looked at who you are, we could, well, that's what we do. We'll spend forever talking about just how amazing you are. And today we get to look and celebrate your faithfulness. God, I pray that as we look to the future, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have any idea what's going to happen, what your plans are. Father, what things will look like even next week. But like the Apostle Paul, we have hope. We have hope, and we can be confident in saying that everything will be okay. God, that you will see us through because you are faithful. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless our time together, the time around the table, the time as we sit and eat. God, we thank you that you are faithful. It's not about us. It's about what you've done for us.